Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu, Perek Mem Ches. This is the 48th Perek of Yirmiyahu, and it is focusing upon the nation of Moab. This is the neighbor of Israel to the east, one of the neighbors to the east, and the name is the country is Moab. Of course, we are related to Moab in the sense that Moab is one of the children of the daughters of Lot and Lot himself, so it's a clear connection of the family, and we know that the Torah tells us that we have specific rules with which to engage a Moab. We're not allowed, as Jews, we're not allowed to al totzer es Moab, al tiskar ba milchama, we're not allowed to evoke war, we're not allowed to torture them in any way, so Israel had to have special care for them. Nonetheless, throughout our history, it's been a complicated relationship with Moab. Moab at certain times were very cruel to the Jews, and besides for a few incredible investments they made, which is like Rus HaMoavia, who comes from the Moab, there was a complicated and difficult history. In fact, if you look at this perek is a very long perek, almost 50 psukim. Abarbanel says the reason it is such is because we have a complicated and difficult history, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to extra length to describe its destruction in this prophecy, which is why it's longer than the Egyptian and the Philistine prophecy of the previous two chapters. So Yirmiyahu's speech about this is directed directly at them, leMoav, to Moav, Komar Hashem Sogos Elokei Yisrael. And the first section, which runs really from Pasuk Hey to Yud Aleph, is where he describes all the names of the cities which are going to be destroyed. And we recognize some of these names from learning Torah, you know, where we hear about these cities on the Transjordan area where Israel actually walked when they were on the Arvos Moav in the air times of the end of Sefer Bamidbar and the beginning of Devarim. So he talks about the destruction of Nevo, Kiryasayim, Cheshbon, Charonim, and he goes on to describe how from all these cities there'll be destruction, there'll be sword, there'll be crying out. And he says, Ki ma'ala haluchis bivchi yale bivchi, there's going to be crying and weeping from these cities in Choranim. They're going to go up to this high place. And the Mefarshim point out that, as is seen in Yeshayahu's description of the future of Moab as well, we see that apparently they all run refuge to the higher hills, and then they look back on the lower slopes to see their cities being destroyed, pillaged, and burnt down, and they're crying. So this is sort of the voice of crying from the heights as they watch down on the destruction at the hands of Bavel, of their cities. And even as they go into exile, Yirmiyahu describes in Pasuk Zayin, V'yotzok Moish Bagola, Kohanov Sarov Yachtav, that Kamosh goes out into exile with them and their priests. What is Kamosh? Kamosh is the name of the god of Moab, Kamosh Elohecha, as it is described in Sefer Shoftim. They were obviously very religiously attached to it, so even as they go into exile, their gods go into exile as well. So we have inscriptions. We have the Mesha Stili, which is in the university, which is in the a university museum in England today. And in the Mesha Stili, we read about the descriptions of their relationships at the times of Melachim with Israel, complicated relationships and the pillaging and destroying on both sides that went on. This is his description, and in fact, Yirmiyahu goes so far as to say, "Arur oseh melaches Hashem Rimiya, va'arur moneh harba midam." Cursed be the person who plays trickery with the word of Hashem and prevents their sword from blood, which is understood to mean that Hashem is cursing those who do not listen to Hashem to destroy Moab now, because their time has come. That's as far as it seems to be going. The next part of the speech of Yirmiyahu towards, the prophecy of Yirmiyahu towards Moab, runs from Pasuk Yud Beis to Yud Zayin, in which he describes that it's not only a destroying of the cities, but it's a destruction of the honor of Moab. He says, "Hinei yomim ba'im," there's days which are going to come, and everything is going to be emptied. Right? Uvosh Moav mikumosh, kasher boshu be'beis Yisrael mi'beis el miftachom. Like Israel, we're embarrassed of the fact that they served in Beis El, which of course was the seat of power and spiritual center for the northern kingdom in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. So too Moab are going to be embarrassed of Kamosh, meaning to say there's going to be this embarrassment that they were following the wrong train. They were completely in the wrong direction. There's a spiritual unraveling here. Eich tomru giborim anachnu v'anshei chayal milchama. How could you ever say we're so strong? It'll be so embarrassed. You all fall apart as their honor is falling apart. In fact, even those who destroy Moab will have no reason to claim their own strength because this is so clearly a divinely ordained catastrophe. Yirmiyahu goes on in the next section of this Nevuah, Yud Ches to Chofei, where he describes all the areas that are to suffer, and he goes on a further description of the cities that we know. He talks about Bas Divon, he talks about Aroer, Arnon, Cholon Yatza, Mefa'as, Divon, Nevo, Beis Divrasayim, Kiryasayim, Beis Gemul, Beis Ma'on. These are all the names of these different cities which are mentioned and how they can be cut down one by one. And we sometimes know these areas. These are all Transjordans where the country of Jordan is today. In the next little section, he talks about not only is the humbling, but the humiliation. That's in Chavvav 2 Lamed, where he describes how this nation which used to laugh will be the source of laughter and entertainment. They're going to drink the chalice, the cup of destruction, and leave all their cities, all their strongholds. Shomanu go'on mu'av ge'ei ma'od gavu'u go'onoi v'gavasai. Oh, they were so arrogant, those Moabites. Rumli boy, ani yodati no Hashem mevrosoi, ba'al kein, ba'dov loichein yosoi, usakarish baruchu, is going to now unravel that arrogance which they expressed. So we see this religiousness nature of the society which is being destroyed. We see the spiritual nature of the battle against them, and also the humiliating nature of this battle to prove the point of everything they represented. And it's interesting in this next little section of the prophecy, which moves from Lamed Aleph to Lamed Tes, Yirmiyahu now describes a voice of mourning for Moab. And he says, Al Kain Al Moab Ayelil Ule Moab Kuloi Ezak. I'm going to cry out in mourning for Moab on all these different places that get destroyed. And he says, and he goes on to further to say, in the later psukim, Libi leMoav kachalalim yehemev, Libi al anshei kir cheres. My heart goes out to the corpses who are killed, and he describes the terrible destruction and dismembering of the people as they are forced into battle against the eagles of Babylon. And Eich chato hayelilu Eich hifna oreif Moav bosh. How could it be that they are turned over in fleeing in embarrassment? Vayom Moav lischoik v'lemichita lechol sivavin, is an embarrassment and a laughter for all those who surround it. Very terrible description over here. In fact, one of the poetic descriptions that Yirmiyahu gives of this time is, he says, there's no longer going to be yain miyakovim mishpati. I'm going to make it that the wine presses will no longer be giving wine. Lo yidrach heidad, heidad lo heidad. They're no longer going to be calling the word heidad. Heidad was the word that the wine presses, the grape presses, would cry to each other as they're encouraging each other to, as they're pressing the wines, the wine press. There's heidad lo heidad. There's no longer going to be the call of the heidad of the wine presses. This is sort of Yirmiyahu's description of even the pedestrian aspects of life which are going to be ceasing to exist. Who is this voice? Who's mourning? So if you're to read it just on a pshat sort of level, it almost sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Yirmiyahu is expressing this terrible angst over the pain caused of destruction. But all the Mephoroshim almost unequivocally say that this is not Hashem saying it. It's Hashem's voice of what will be said about this magnificent and strong empire as it itself is degraded. It's self-mourning, which we're hearing. It's in the voice of the Moabites themselves, knowing how great they were and how far they fell, which is being expressed over here. Nonetheless, the ambiguity as to who's crying also tells us that these, again, are the children of Hashem. These are the children of Avraham, essentially. This is Avraham's family. He's very much close to us. And even at their loss and destruction, there is a residue of pain that is being expressed. And finally, the Perek concludes, and from Pasuk Mem to Mem Zion, which sounds very biblical. If you go to Bamidbar Perek Chof Aleph, at the end of Parshas Chukas, in the last Aliyah, you'll see there's a section which describes when Israel is conquering the area of Sichon, which was a neighbor of Moab, and Sichon had many battles with Moab. So some of the cities we conquered from Sichon actually were Moabite cities initially, which created a lot of conflict later on in Sefer Shoftim at the times of Yiftach. But in that section there, there's a Al Ken Yomru HaMoshlim Bo Cheshbon. There's a description of the Moshlim, these parable sayers, these soothsayers, what they say about Cheshbon, which was a city of Moab. And Yirmiyahu reflects those words in this section, where he says words that are very similar to it. Eish Yotzah MeCheshbon, there's a fire which leaves the city of Cheshbon, Ve'lehava MiBein Sichon, and destroys the city of Sichon, Matochah Pa'as Moab. And he says, Oylecha Mo'av, woe to you, Avad Am Kamosh, the nation of Kamosh is going to be destroyed. Very similar words to what we're seeing in the Torah. Yirmiyahu is, in a certain sense, is a capstone of that, as he tells the destruction is imminent. And finally concludes the parak with a little grain of hope for them, that Veshavti Shavus Mo'av Acharis Hayamim. But there's going to be a return of their exiles at the end of the days, because after all, they still are the children of Hashem. There still will be a time where they can and will come back. In the end of the day. So this is a very severe treatment for this nation of Moab. What is interesting is if you were to go through Tanakh and earlier than this and say, you know, who are the primary enemies of Israel, Moab doesn't feature so much. There are a number of battles we fight against Moab. There are a number of attrition issues that we have to deal with, but they don't seem to be to get as certainly as much text as, let's say, the Philistines, as an example, as the Plishtim. The Plishtim get a much shorter chapter, and part of that might be is because their expectations are higher. The Moab are, after all, our cousins, and the fact that they treated us more atrociously, and the fact that they rejected us, there was a higher expectation of what brothers should do for brothers, and perhaps that was why they were judged on a more severe note. This closes Moab. Tomorrow we will focus on Ammon. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.